Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 73 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
Got fire crews from a lot of different places coming to offer support.
Officials with the National Forest Service say cool, wet weather this weekend won't affect the statewide drought or the danger of forest fires. Moorhead State will host an expungement clinic next week. Applications are now being accepted for Rowan County Christmas. A popular Civil War reenactment will not take place this weekend. Governor Matt Bevin and Democratic challenger Andy Beshear squared off last night in the first gubernatorial debate on KET. In sports, the Vikings face the Bulldogs tonight for homecoming football game. Bud Luke has the stock report. Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 50 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Even with cooler temperatures today and rain moving into the region this weekend, officials with the National Forest Service say it's still not safe to burn anything. The state of Kentucky is currently affected by drought, and burn bans have been put in place across the WMKY listening area. Christy Wampler is a district biologist and public information officer with the Forest Service. She says crews are battling five different blazes in the Daniel Boone National Forest.
Every fire that's going right now was human-caused and not by us. So there are times when we do prescribe fires, and then the weather changes and we're immediately into fire suppression mode. And I think, particularly in eastern Kentucky, where fire is used often as a management tool, it can be a little confusing to people when we talk about suppressing fires, and they wonder why we don't just let them burn.
Wampler says the small amount of rain coming into the region won't help conditions. The wind is expected to add more dry leaves to the forest floor, giving fires opportunity to spread even faster. The dry weather has led to several farm fields burning in the last several days, and farmers are concerned. Kentucky officials issued a drought declaration for the entire state. The Lincoln County Fire Chief tells WKYT they had 80 response calls in the past month. Normally, they would have around 40. The big reason for the increase is the dry weather. On Thursday, a 30-acre fire at a farm near Crab Orchard got out of control. The Mennonites who own the land actually helped put out the fire that started when a bush hog hit a rock. It caused a spark and set the field on fire. About 30 acres burned in that fire. Community members used their own equipment to help put it out. The fire chief says they also had a call nearly every fire department in the county. The Lincoln County Fire Chief says their crews also had to respond to a campfire that got out of control this morning. Those fires are not legal under the current ban. An expungement clinic is set to take place at Moorhead State University next week. The event will be in the Adrian Dorn University Center and is hosted by Goodwill Industries of Kentucky. Jill Butler is a career coach with Goodwill. She says there's no registration required.
Show up between the hours of 2 and 6, and we will have DOC on the premises, and they will be able to run a background check and let them know, let that person know where they stand. You know, if do they have a year to go? You know, do they owe money for fines or something like that? And then they'll also be able to see what their next steps are to get that record expunged.
The clinic will be in room 329 of ADUC, and all resources will be available for no charge. The registration period for families or individuals eligible to receive gifts from the Rowan County Christmas Program is now open. Established in 1993, Rowan County Christmas provides gifts to those who may not otherwise receive anything around Christmas time. Rhonda Hawley is the vice chair of RCC. She says there are a few essential items for registration.
You have to bring photo ID with you at that time. You have to bring security card for every member in your family and proof of employment or income for the whole household, proof of residency that you live in Rowan County, such as a utility bill.
The registration period is open through November 15th. For more information, contact Christian Social Services at 784-5329. A top official in the state says the continued economic growth in the Moorhead area has not gone unnoticed. James Musser serves as the executive director of the Office of the Legislative and Regulatory Affairs, a division of the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services. He spoke during this month's Morehead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce luncheon. Mr. says one of the things that has really stuck out has been the area's approach to education and health care.
And it's been exciting to see what's going on with St. Clair. I know that the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville have been working with the cabinet to get state dollars to leverage more federal funds so that money will be coming for more graduate medical education at hospitals like St. Clair. There are about a dozen around the state, but again, Rowan County and Morehead are kind of at the forefront.
Musser has previously served as senior advisor to the United States Secretary of Labor, as well as a special advisor to the chairman of the House Budget Committee. The Pike County Animal Shelter is working to find good homes for animals and help save as many of them as possible. The shelter hosted a pet fair at Rural King on Tuesday, bringing a variety of pets such as kittens, cats, and dogs to the store in hope of finding them forever homes. The animal control officer, Daryl Mullins, says taking the animals to the people often creates a better number of adoptions.
When they're at a Rural King or Petco or somewhere shopping around, they see an animal, a lot of times we can get them home.
Mullins tells WYMT the shelter hosts similar pet fairs around the community every month. To keep up to date with future pet fairs, follow the Pike County Animal Shelter's Facebook page. There will be no Civil War battle in Kentucky this year, KNN's Paul Miles explains.
The annual Battle of Perryville commemoration is being scaled back this weekend. Dry and hot weather conditions have resulted in burn bans across the state, including Boyle County, where Perryville Battlefield State Historic Site is located. All military demonstrations with cannons, camping, and other special programming have been canceled. Perryville was the largest Civil War battle fought in Kentucky. More than 1,000 Union and Confederate soldiers were killed on October 8, 1862. It was a bloody but indecisive battle as the Confederates retreated to Tennessee. I'm Paul Miles.
A mix of old and new volunteers are reviving a Lexington festival dedicated to plant-based eating. The event was held in 2016 and 2017, but shelved last year due to organizers' busy schedules. This year, the one-day festival is returning as part of a newly formed nonprofit called Lex Veg. Brittany Martin is the co-founder, and she says a variety of activities will be on offer.
We're going to have over 40 vendors, which include local food, nonprofit exhibitors selling different goods and items. We have a list of speakers. We're going to have live music, cooking demos. There's a great kids area.
Organizers say the festival will highlight local vendors and be a low-waste event with all programs and maps posted online rather than printed. The entry is free to the public. The festival runs from 11 to 4 this Saturday at Housewarmings on Palumbo Drive. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
UPS plans to invest $750 million and add 1,000 jobs in Kentucky with a list of projects over the next few years. The company announced its plans in Louisville on Wednesday. Officials say the state approved a 10-year incentive agreement last month that can provide up to $36 million in tax incentives. The first project is a two-bay aircraft maintenance hangar at the cost of $220 million. UPS plans to begin permitting and constructing next year, with completion expected in 2022. A statement by Governor Matt Bevin's office says other plans include ramp and taxiway improvements, office building renovations, flight training facility expansions, and new operations offices at the company's World Port Air Hub. Republican Governor Matt Bevin and his Democratic challenger, Attorney General Andy Beshear, squared off in their first official debate last night. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the pair disagreed on who has Kentucky's best interest at heart.
Beshear painted the incumbent Republican as an out-of-touch bully who has shortchanged the state's teachers and public workers while refusing to seek out new revenue to fund Kentucky's struggling retirement systems. The attorney general also pushed back on a key Bevin talking point that investment and jobs have seen record growth under his watch.
And I am done throwing tax incentives to out-of-state CEOs that create cut-rate jobs where you cannot raise a family. We are going to generate new revenue, we're going to put that in the pension system, and we're going to free up dollars in the general fund to make sure we fully fund public education.
While Beshear pointed to expanded gaming and medical marijuana as potential sources of revenue, Bevin said gaming comes with societal costs and neither would begin to produce enough money to turn around pensions. The governor repeatedly pressed his opponent for answers on how he would fund his promises, adding that it's going to take years to dig Kentucky out of financial holes he accused mostly Democrats of digging.
I wish I could tell you that, hey, don't worry, Uncle Sugar's going to come down from Frankfurt and just give you all money, help you hire people. It doesn't exist. The money does not exist. This is a hard and brutal reality.
The debate, held in western Kentucky, focused mostly on budget and financial questions, staying away from social issues like abortion that have been central in Bevin's campaign. Kentuckians are set to go to the polls November 5th. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky State Police are investigating the death of an inmate in the Carter County Detention Center. 65-year-old William Pulliam was found dead Thursday night. Jail staff and Carter County EMS attempted to revive the man but were unsuccessful. Pulliam shot and killed 15-year-old James Means in Charleston back in November of 2016 and pleaded guilty to second-degree murder back in August. According to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, county prosecutors alerted Means' mother Thursday that Pulliam had hung himself while in custody at the detention center in Grayson. U.S. Marshal Service Deputy Fred Lamy confirmed Pulliam's death, but held off on confirming the death as a suicide until an autopsy can be performed. The case remains under investigation by Detective Jeff Kelly, who was assisted on the scene by Carter County EMS and the Carter County Coroner's Office. A Clay County grand jury has indicted a woman on criminal abuse and wanton endangerment charges after a child at her home was scalded with hot water. 42-year-old Angela Guth was charged in late July after her son reportedly poured boiling water on another boy during a sleepover, leaving 11-year-old Billy Oliver with second and third degree burns. The incident was motivated by a dangerous hot water challenge that spread across the internet. According to WKYT, Guth is accused of not seeking help for the boy in the immediate aftermath. Oliver's mother says her son had to be pulled out of school until January after reporting several medical setbacks in connection to his injuries. An arraignment for Guth has not been scheduled, as the woman has not been arrested or turned herself in. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 50 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 81. On Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Sunday, a 60% chance of rain, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 75. Sunday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 53. On Monday, showers are likely mainly before 1 in the afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a high near 63. It's currently 73 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, how can we solve two major human problems at the same time? Commentator John Modaff ponders the C word in search of an answer to his question.
The world has a food crisis and we have a college debt crisis. How do these relate? Let's take a look. The food crisis is fairly simple. The number of people in certain parts of the world does not match the amount of available decent food. Transporting food is expensive and challenging, vulnerable to all sorts of diversion, and thus people starve. Enter Swedish Professor Magnus Söderlund and others who recently have a solution that will require us to rethink how we feel about one another. We will need to find new value in the carcass each of us carries around. We will, in short, become food Yes, Professor Soderlund and associates think we need to consider cannibalism. The idea is that people can feed off of other people with no harm done, and we reduce global warming and the hunger problem gets some relief. Unlike Jonathan Swift, the professor is not joking. Did you almost reach for the off switch on your radio just now? Did you consider even the critical discussion of cannibalism to be too distasteful for polite society? Then consider another form of cannibalism that you probably support to prepare an explanation as to why one form is better than another. Have you been hearing people say lately that they think free college is good? This is being espoused by nearly every candidate challenging the incumbent. Free college, and many are also considering making that retroactive by paying off college student loans. How is this cannibalistic? Take a second and see how this benefits only those who go or have gone to college, currently about one-third of the U.S. population. There will be no free college, even when it is free, because someone will pay the billions it takes to run our nation's thousands of campuses. While one-third or so of Americans go to college, nearly one-half actually pay taxes. That's a mismatch. That's one group feeding off the other if college becomes free. The smaller group will eat resources that could be used by the greater population to live longer, better, and produce more healthfully. Less money makes that harder to do, impossible in some cases, especially with children and elderly. Taxing people more, feeding off of them, even for a good and noble purpose, is cannibalistic. As repugnant as one finds the eating of human flesh, one might also find the seizure of resources essential to healthful living so that some can continue their education. In a pragmatic way, if cannibalism is adopted to handle the world's food crisis, we might then feel better about the cannibalism of free college, particularly since depriving taxpayers of resources will surely lead to premature deaths and thus contribute to the food supply. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 449 and 73 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for taking the time to make a donation to our fall fundraiser and membership drive. We are able to meet our goal, but there is still time to make a donation online at wmky.org. And we're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Jonathan Burton has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
The Vikings face off with the Bulldogs tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jonathan Burton. The Round County football team is set to host Holmes tonight for homecoming. The Vikings are 3-3 on the season, coming off a 54-28 loss to Scott High last week. The Bulldogs of Covington are 3-2 on their season. Round head coach Kelly Ford says they aren't a big team, but they do have talent.
They've played some great teams up Northern Kentucky so far. I think they may be 2-3. They was off this past week with a bye week, but the teams we got on them was Newport and then a team out of Ohio that they played. But they play some pretty good competition, and they're a fast and athletic football team.
Kickoff tonight is set for 7:30 p.m. The Morehead State University football team is back home this weekend. The Eagles will hit the field as they host Davidson. Head coach Rob Tenure says he hopes to see the stands full tomorrow. The contest will also serve as Community Appreciation Day for the fans.
We're entering conference play this week. Right now we're averaging close to 7,000 fans a game, which puts us in the top 30 in the entire country at the FCS Division I level. That's pretty exciting. And that's because of our community support and the folks we have out have coming out to our football game. So want to encourage you to come out this week.
MSU enters the game at 2-2 on the season. Kickoff from Jane Stadium tomorrow is set for 1 o'clock. Morehead State Soccer plays host to conference rival Murray State tonight. Both teams have won 3 straight to open OVC play. Head coach Warren Lipka says the Racers will be a strong test for his team's defense, which hasn't allowed a goal in the past 3 games.
You don't see a team score 15 goals in 3 conference games very often, and it just shows you the ability of them going forward. And you know, what we've got to do is just focus on what we do well. That's, I think, we defend well, we transition well, and you know, watch film and break it down and get our plan together, you know, for us to compete for this Friday.
MSU has not beaten Murray State since 2013. Game time at the MSU Recreation and Wellness Intramural Field is set for 6 p.m. tonight. Morehead State Volleyball heads out today for a weekend road trip. The Eagles travel to Cookeville to take on Tennessee Tech tomorrow before heading further south to Alabama for a conference matchup against Jacksonville State. MSU has won 5 in a row, all at home, but head coach James Gordon says his team's experience away from Johnson Arena this year has been just as important.
We've also, in the pre-conference schedule, been on the road and played in some challenging places. We definitely had that when we were at Kansas, in front of about 2,000 fans. And so we've got some experience there, and that's going to be key for us as we head into the road portion of our OVC play.
Morehead State is 2-0 in conference play. Game time against Tennessee Tech is set for 3 p.m. Saturday, and first serve for Sunday's match against Jacksonville State is at 1 p.m. The Morehead State University rival team is set to begin its season this weekend. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Coming off the most prolific season in program history, the Morehead State rifle team will open its 2019-20 season tomorrow at home. The Eagles host the Nighthawks from North Georgia with relays beginning at 8 a.m. in Button Rifle Range. Head coach Alan Joseph's program is coming off a season in which the team finished 9th in the nation and set numerous records. The small bore starting lineup consists of senior Alexa Potts, junior Ryan Henson, sophomore Katie Fry, and freshman Elizabeth Plessity and Bryce Ward. Fry, Henson, and Potts will count in the air rifle team score along with senior Carly Potts and freshman Grace Weber. Following Saturday's action, the team is off of outside competition for 2 weeks until October 19th when they face Kentucky and Murray State in the Kentucky Long Rifle Cup in Lexington. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The Kentucky basketball team's annual media day gave head coach John Calipari the chance to share the excitement. The Wildcats are made up of 4 returning players, a number 2 ranked recruiting class, a graduate transfer, and 2 walk-ons. That has the possibility of a team that can mesh and make a run at the school's 9th annual championship. Calipari has now led Kentucky for 10 seasons. During that time, he's won 1 national championship in 2012. Calipari says the question now is if his Cats are tough enough.
Because our defense on the ball should be unbelievable. I think we're long enough at other positions, and if you try to beat us to the rim, we're going long. We can block shots. That's the sign of a really good defensive team. Now, if you get roughed up, can you still play? Can you still perform? Do we have the physical, mental toughness? And the main thing for me will be, how do we rebound and how tough are we physically?
The Wildcats will be part of the annual Big Blue Madness on Friday, October 11th, and the Blue-White game is the following Friday on October 18th. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Cincinnati Bengals are looking to get their first win of the season this weekend. Cincy is entering the contest against the Cardinals with a 0-4 record. Fortunately for them, the Cardinals aren't doing much better. They enter the game with a 0-3-1 record. Bengals QB Andy Dalton tells Bengals.com the team can pull it off, especially if they don't have a repeat from earlier in the week.
I think it's, you know, everybody's got to do their job. For me, I've got to,
go through my progressions and get the ball in my hands when it needs to be out. And them, they've got to block the guy. I think that's all it comes down to. You know, we never want to have a game like we had on Monday night. And, you know, I don't expect us to have another one like that.
Kickoff from Paul Brown Stadium is set for 1 o'clock Sunday. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Jonathan Burton.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer hosts Murray State tonight at 6 p.m., and football welcomes Davidson on Saturday for Community Appreciation Day. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed sharply higher as the latest U.S. jobs report hit the sweet spot with Wall Street traders. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 372.44 at 26,573.48. The S&P 500 was up 41.35 at 2951.98. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 110.21. at 7982.47. The U.S. economy added 136,000 jobs in September, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. An economist polled going into the report expected an increase of 145,000 jobs. However, the unemployment rate fell to 3.5%, which was a 50-year low. And the jobs report was solid enough to dampen recession fears, but lackluster enough to keep the Federal Reserve on track to cut rates again later this month. Expectations for a 25 basis point rate cut were at 79% today, according to the CME Group. Tech was the best performing sector in the S&P 500, gaining 1.7% as Apple rose 2.8%. The tech giant stock rose after Nikkei reported the company is increasing iPhone 11 production by 10%. Treasury yields jumped this morning before giving back those gains. The 10-year yield last traded at 1.51% after hitting an intraday high of 1.55%. And, of course, rate cut expectations surged yesterday following the release of disappointing data on the U.S. services sector. The increasing hope of lower rates led to a sharp rebound on Wall Street yesterday as the Dow recovered from a 335-point deficit to close higher. Nonetheless, expectations for economic growth are falling. Earlier this week, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now tool pointed to third-quarter growth of just 1.8% for GDP. Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren said today he sees just 1.7% growth for the second half of 2019. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said that the economy is in a, quote, good place, adding it is the central bank's job to keep the economy there. In the commodities markets, oil did rebound somewhat today from a very bad performance overall this week, with crude oil up 0.75% at $52.86 a barrel. Gold was down 0.25% at $1,510.20 an ounce. And overseas in Europe, stocks had a pretty good day with the Stock 600 index gaining 0.75%. Asia had a bad day with the Shanghai Composite down almost 1% and the Hang Seng down 1.125%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General up 3.47 at $160.88. U.S. Bancorp up $1.03 at $54.08. UPS up $1.53 at $117.43. Marathon Petroleum up 74 cents at $60.74. And PPL Energy up 35 cents at $30.92. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the meats, the works, Tuscan 6 cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Sarah Mead, Nacogdoches Miller, and Michael Green, and Chaz Jenkins. KNN's Paul Miles, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.